Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey chickens, it's the fabulous Adam Richard. We're up to Terror of the Autons part 4, and when we left it, the Doctor was being choked by his own telephone cable. Hey chickens, the Doctor, being choked by the telephone cable, calls out to the Brigadier for help, and the Brigadier solves the problem by just pulling the cable out of the wall, and it becomes inert because it can no longer hear the Master's wee 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 that he was sending down the phone. It's very weird cliffhanger resolution. It's like, oh my God, the worst thing in the world. Oh no, I've fixed it. The Doctor tells the Brigadier, in case anyone has missed the last three episodes, that the Nestines can put life into anything plastic, including this phone cable. So your Doctor knows that the daffodil is going to do something terrible, the plastic daffodil. So he tries heating it with the Bunsen burner, but it doesn't do anything. Weirdly, it doesn't melt it because it's plastic. You think it would just melt, but anyway. Attacking it with a Bunsen burner usually would make plastic go blah, blah. Remember when you were a kid and you used to put chip packets in the oven and shrink them down and then turn them into a keychain? All right, I'm a very old person. So meanwhile, Mike Yates is telling the Doctor that there are men in carnival masks handing out daffodils. He's like, oh, these daffs are going to kill people. Oh my God, anyone that calls them daffs. So then we see the bus full of carnival masked Autons driving off, and a motorbike starts chasing them. And then the Brig gets a call. He's like, what? They're going where? Oh, all right, order an airstrike. The Doctor is trying to work out what's programmed these daffodils. He's got like a weird computer screen up with a bunch of hexagons on it. He's like, yes, this is the program pattern of the daffodil. The Brigadier tells the Doctor the Autons are now in their bus. They've been followed and they've stopped in the quarry where Joe and the Doctor were taken by the police. So the Master has just taken them back to where the circus was before. Circus is no longer a going concern, obviously. All those elephants are going to starve. The Brigadier says, look, you don't have to worry. We're going to blow them up. I've ordered an airstrike from the RAF. We've got an hour and a half, and then boom. Yates gives Joe like a thing, like a little communicator thing to contact them. Because they're looking over they'll be watching the quarry to make sure they're all blown up properly. The Doctor gives it a bit of a tut-tut, the military solution. The Brigadier's like, I've got no choice. I can't let the Autons get to a populated area. Meanwhile, the Autons themselves are telling Farrell that they're being observed and they were followed by humans. The Doctor has managed to work out what the daffodil code is, and it's a face. It's just a nose and a mouth. And he's like, I don't know why. Joe tries to call Mike Yates on the little walkie-talkie thing she's got. Like, She's like, hello, trap one to greyhound, trap one to greyhound. And while she's talking, the daffodil starts to move. It's like, it's got little daffodil heads like waving around. And the doctor's like, oh, it's obviously set off by radio waves. The daffodil spits a plastic film onto Joe, blocking her nose and mouth. Oh my God! The doctor sprays her with something. It makes the plastic come off, and then she's fine. She's like, they realize that the spate of dead people that minister was talking about were killed by the daffodil. I'm laughing because I've just remembered the minister's name. So the doctor tells Joe to contact Brown Rose. If your rose is brown, you haven't cleaned it properly. Brown Rose. Tell Joe has to contact Brown Rose and say we've got to stop anyone who's got the daffodils. Or find out if anyone who died mysteriously had a daffodil and a shortwave radio transmitter. The doctor's wondering why there was no plastic film found on the dead bodies. And then as he watches, it dissolves from the carbon dioxide of him breathing out. So we know the doctor breathes out carbon dioxide. That's something we didn't know before. The master, meanwhile, arrives with his tissue compression eliminator aimed at the doctor. And the doctor tells, like, the master's like, oh, you like my plan with the daffodils? He's like, yes, yes, it's vicious, complicated, and inefficient. Sounds like one of yours. the master says he's going to open a channel and 450,000 people who've taken the daffodils will die, and that'll cause chaos. I don't know how much chaos it's going to cause, but apparently enough for the Autons to invade the whole world. Joe enters, and the doctor tells him, don't fire! And he's like, tells the master, I've got your dematerialization circuit. And he says, give it to me, or I'll kill Miss Grant. And Joe says, don't give it to me! He's already lost, they're going to bomb the quarry! And the master's like, oh, really? Well, change of plans. Oh, Joe, you've ruined it. Meanwhile, Farrell is having a weird hypnosis moment. He's trying to get out of the bus. He's like, oh, no, no, the master, you will obey me. No, I've got to go. So he runs out and the Auton bops him on the head, knocks him out. Meanwhile, the doctor, Joe, and the master all arrive in Bessie. And the brigadier is like, oh, Benton, abort the airstrike. He goes, it's too late, but he tries anyway. Like, Greyhunter Eagle, stop, stop, abort, abort, abort. The jet flies over and they're all like, oh no! It doesn't drop any bombs, everything's fine. Meanwhile, the doctor and Joe are tied up and put on the floor of the bus. The doctor wrangles himself into a position. He's like, ugh, ugh. The master's got the box with the nesting sphere in it. And the doctor's like, we're near the radio telescope from episode one. The doctor manages to wrangle himself into a weird position, so he gets his foot on the brake and starts punching the brake with his foot, which makes the brake light on the bus go on and off, making Morse code, which the brigadier starts translating. It's like, yes, so apparently the brake lights say, daffodils are deadly, put a guard on the radio telescope. That's a lot to bang out with your foot, frankly. The doctor turns to Joe and says, oh, it's a pity escapology wasn't part of your curriculum. And she's like, funny you should say that. And she's got her hands free. Oh, she undoes the doctor as the bus drives off, and Farrell is waking up. The bus is heading towards the radio telescope tower, where Yates has a bunch of soldiers, you know, ready to be shot by Autons. Sorry, ready to defend the base. Farrell, meanwhile, takes the wheel and drives the bus off into a field. The doctor and Joe jump out. The master whacks Farrell. Joe hurts her ankle. I don't know why. It serves no dramatic thrust at all. It's just Joe falls over. Meanwhile, the Autons and UNIT are shooting at each other. Pew, pew, pew. Lots of shooting. The doctor sees the master climbing the radio telescope. So he's like, oh, we've got to go up there. The master throws someone off the tower. Oh, that is cold, mate. The doctor and the brigadier head up the stairs. The master, meanwhile, is realigning the dishes. It's happening a lot quicker than it did in the first episode. It's like, woo, 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 wheels go around, meep, dishes, done. The satellite dishes, the radio telescope, not like he's not realigning dishes in the dish drainer because someone's, you know, old mate Eggs has leftover plates. Poor Eggy. He died in the first episode. So the doctor arrives and the master says, it's too late. The nestlings are arriving. And there's a glow above the big radio telescope dishes. Then there's more explosions. There's more shooting. And the doctor's like, then we'll be able to tell the difference between you and the humans, which apparently is enough for the master to suddenly change sides and help the doctor reverse the polarity. I don't know how that works. There's an explosion in the control room. Then all the carnival mask autons wobble and fall over, and the one that was appearing in the satellite dishes just dissipates off into nothing. It's a weird anticlimax. The doctor and the brigadier notice, the master is gone. What? He gets to the coach, and then he comes out with his hands up, walking slowly. And then quickly gets out a gun and tries to shoot it at Mike Yates, and Mike Yates shoots him, bang, 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 and he's dead. The doctor's like, it must be a trick. And he goes over and pulls off a mask. Oh, they've killed Farrell. Oh, poor thing. It's all right. Michael Wisher, who plays Farrell, will be back in the show about 40 more times before he turns up as Davros. he's very good. The master drives the bus at them. The doctor jumps in front of it for a little while and then gets out of the way. So the master's escaped. The doctor says, oh, the master is stuck on Earth now. I look forward to seeing him again. All right, a wrap up next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.